Welcome to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager. In January and February 2013, a confluence of all things Danish came together in the Sonoran Desert of Arizona. Two national Danish sports teams and a visit by Danish Ambassador Peter Taxo Jensen highlighted a series of events, exhibits, and lectures all about Danes. This launched a series of events linked together under the banner Danes in the Desert. Ambassador Taxo Jensen visited Tucson for the first time and gave a public talk on Denmark's Green Agenda in January 2013 at the Viscount Suites Hotel for members of local Rotary International. The ambassador met with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias and other local officials. Today on 30 Minutes, we'll begin with Supervisor Elias, followed by remarks made by Danish Ambassador Taxo Jensen.
Good afternoon, Catalina Rotarians and visitors and friends and some folks from out of town. Thank you very much, and it's a great honor to be here as your guest today, and quite pleased to be here. Introducing our luncheon speaker, who is the Danish Ambassador to the United States of America. And Peter Taxo Jensen is a fine gentleman, as we found out this morning, and a very calm demeanor with a great sense of humor, I would add, as well. So we've enjoyed the morning together. We started off on Tumamoc Hill, learning some about sustainability and conservation efforts here in southern Arizona. And then we spent some time out at the Pascua Yaqui Nation, with some elders and some young people and the Danish national performance team. So it's been a great morning and everyone's been having a real good time. Ambassador Taxo Jensen is the Danish ambassador to the United States, as I said. And prior to commencing his position in Washington, the ambassador was the Assistant Secretary General for Legal Affairs at the United Nations. Before joining the United Nations in 2008, the ambassador served for more than two decades in the Danish Ministry of Foreign Affairs, primarily within the areas of foreign policy, arms control, and international law. I'd ask you all to please be generous in your applause and welcoming our lecture speaker, Ambassador Peter Taxo Jensen.
Thank you so much for this invitation to come to speak to you here today. I noted what was said about sort of the overall purpose of Rotary, and I think basically diplomacy and what you are doing in Rotary is actually meeting ends, because what we are working on, at least where I come from, is also to try to do what we can to ensure that we can continue to live in a peaceful world. I don't know how much time I have, but I have been asked to talk a little bit about the Danish experience when it comes to greening our economy. Before I do that, I'll just say two or three words about what it means to be a Danish ambassador to the United States. This is my first post as an ambassador, and I was a little bit humbled when I was appointed the Danish ambassador to the U.S., because this is basically our most important ally. And this, of course, therefore is one of our most important positions in the Danish Foreign Service. And I said that to my permanent secretary, and I said, no worries, it will be very easy because you have a lot of staff that will help you out. And that has turned out to be true. But the other very important fact is that the relationship between Denmark and the United States is a relationship with no problems whatsoever. It's a very, very close relationship, although we have a situation where the elephant has to be careful not to step on the mouse. We can concentrate on working on global issues together, and that is what we have been doing from a Danish perspective over the last many, many years, and we consider ourselves among the closest allies that you guys have around the world. One of the areas where we have not been so pleased with the policies of this country is the one you've asked me to talk about today, namely climate change and how this has been addressed by the United States. Denmark has been working on this issue for many, many years, because we actually realized back in the early 70s when we were confronted with the oil crisis in Europe that we needed to do something about this situation, a situation where suddenly our small open economy in Denmark was totally undermined by the fact that oil prices skyrocketed as a result of the oil crisis in the 70s. Danish politicians decided to do something about it. So after the crisis, after this situation where we could walk on the highways because we wanted to save gas and it was not allowed to drive your car on Sundays as a symbolic gesture than anything else, Danish politicians decided that we needed to come to a situation where we were not, as was the case back in 1974, we were not any longer 98% dependent on foreign oil and gas and energy. We wanted to change that, and I can proudly say that we have changed that. Now it's about 100% energy independency that we have in Denmark, and that has happened over the span of the last since 1974-75. And this has been done in sort of with many different tools. One important tool is, of course, that we have started to invest in renewable energy. We have had a look at what do we have at hand. You are looking here in Arizona at what you have. You have the sun, so you invest a lot in solar energy. In Denmark, we have more wind. And to be frank, we also have a lot of pigs, so we can actually use wind energy, and we can use the bioproducts that comes out of pigs. We have 25 million pigs and only 5 million Danes, so there's a lot of stuff to work on there. And we have actually managed to turn that into something which is a positive thing. Over this period of time, as I said, we have gone to a situation where we are now almost totally independent of foreign energy. We have gone through a period since 1980 till 2010 where we have grown our economy about 76%. It's not as much as you guys grow when you grow at a normal pace, but it's nice growth. And in the same period, we have actually managed to keep our energy consumption flat, totally flat, and decrease our emissions of carbon oxide. So it can be done, and this is what has happened over the last 30, 40 years. What has been done then? Well, politicians decided to keep energy prices high when actually they went down. So we used that as one of the incentives. I know that's more difficult in this country than it is in Denmark. But if you start pricing energy in a different way, it makes people think how they use energy in a different way. If you compare how much Arizona is about five times as big or large as Denmark, we have approximately the same population, but you use twice as much energy per person as we do in Denmark. It's not because you have a nice warm climate here, it's just because we have worked on this agenda for 35, 40 years to try to change the way that we use energy in our society. And this has been done with high price of energy, making not only from the government level, but also from the personal individual level, it makes sense to actually think about energy, investing in more energy sufficient solutions in your housing and so forth and so forth. And this actually has led to a situation where we are at least the European Union's most energy efficient country, and we were named that back in 2010. But then we realized, and we still realize, that we will not be able to save the world ourselves. We can see when we go to Greenland, which is part of Denmark, that energy, climate change is really having an immense impact on the way of life in that part of the world. We can see it in Denmark. We have more rain now. It's not getting warmer in all places. Some places is actually getting more wet, like in Denmark. Here you have a rising temperature. Note that last year was the highest average temperature you ever had in the United States. So climate change is also real in the United States. So therefore, we also have pushed to try to actually do something to change sort of the international discussion about climate change. We had an important summit back in 2009 to get everybody together, the Chinese, the Americans, the oil producing countries like the Saudi Arabias out there and others, all the stakeholders came to Copenhagen back in 2009, and we tried to see if we could make sort of a grand bargain on how to square the circle and get us on a trajectory where we would limit the increase in the temperature to 2 degrees centigrade by 2050. We didn't succeed, to be honest, to have this full-fledged agreement that will keep us on that path. So if we all continue the way we are doing now, we are actually facing a situation where the temperature will be about 6 degrees higher in 2050 than what we have now. And imagine what that will do to a place like Tucson, Arizona, or Greenland, or any other place. So there still is a lot of work to that has to be done in order to come to a situation where the whole world works together in order to change this trajectory, which is really scary for everybody. But we tried, and we couldn't sort of change the world, but we decided we wanted at least to do our part of changing the world. And therefore, the government decided back in 2008 to have a climate commission that actually looked not only at how do you actually lower emissions, but what is the economy in economy? What will this do to the Danish economy? Will it be possible to be very ambitious in this area? And the Danish government, or the Climate Commission, came out with a report that basically concluded that if you set a goal that in 2050 you want to be totally fossil fuel free, it can be done, and it will be a little bit more expensive in the beginning, but you'll save a lot of money at the end. And this was the conclusion coming from economists and experts, environmental experts and others. And on the basis of that report, the Danish government decided to have a broad-based coalition of Danish parties come together and agree on a plan that we have now set in motion, a plan that means that we have the ambition that by 2050 we will not be using fossil fuels in Denmark. And this plan entails a lot of investment in new technology. We I think $150 billion has been set aside along the road to get to this situation. We have benchmarks going forward in order to make sure that we can actually see the progress coming from where we are now to a situation where we can do without coal and gas and oil. We have already invested a lot in the wind industry and other areas, and now I think by 2020, 50% of all electricity consumption will come from renewable energies, and by 2035 all our electricity consumption will come from renewables. Then of course there are some challenges with regard to the transport sector, which is not so easy. There you need to have new innovation, and we are investing in that, so that also in the transport sector and other areas we will actually be able to come to a situation where by 2050 also getting around the country and in and out of the country will actually be done without the use of fossil fuels. Just some numbers. We are on a path to lower our emissions of carbon dioxide from the level of 1990 to 2020 by 40%. And we still have a society where we have a growing industry in all kinds of areas. And one point I think is very important, two points. One point is that all of this, the fact that we have invested so much focus, money, and so forth on this path that we are going forward on, means that we have cutting-edge technology in many areas. And this also has a very positive impact on our economy. About 18% of our exports is now clean technology exports that goes to the US and other places where you and China and the rest of Europe, where the governments and societies are not investing as much money as we're doing in Denmark. And all these investments are paying off, and this is why further down the road, even though the Dane is paying more now for electricity, energy and so forth, down the road we expect that to be a much cheaper thing for us than anybody else. Because if you look at demand on fossil fuels, even though you have a booming shale gas adventure in this country, demand on coal and gas and oil and gasoline will only go in one direction, and that's up. The Chinese are putting, I don't know how many, but I think I heard the number, 1,000 new cars on the street every day that needs gas. So this means that the price in the long run on all these fossil fuels based energy sources will go up. And once you have created energy sources that are renewable, it's much, much cheaper because you can keep the energy price at the same level going forward. And this is really the trick that we are doing. The other thing, the last point I wanted to make is that one thing that has really been a game changer for us has been sort of the ownership that has been created by the Danish local communities. We had, for instance, a Danish island, Samsø, which is in the center of Denmark, that decided back in 1997 that they wanted to be sort of the front runners on this agenda. And then they invested a lot of money and energy in becoming fossil fuel free in 10 years' time. And they actually achieved that goal in 2007. This is a very small community, a small island. And now they are actually net exporters of energy to the rest of Denmark. And the you should think that way. That was sort of not received well on this little island with a very small community, but actually people got it. And when you look out on the sea and you see your own windmill standing there running around, it's not so bad to have that as part of your view, because it makes a lot of money for you, and therefore it makes a lot of sense to have it. And this way to create a sort of individual incentives has really been something that has paid off a lot in Denmark. Just my final note, and if I can take any questions if you have any. But my final note is we have the highest taxes in the world on income taxes. We have the most expensive cars in the world. This means that we are driving much smaller cars than you guys are doing here. We have people driving, using bikes in Copenhagen as a means of transport. I think 35% of all commutes in Copenhagen is done on a bike. It's good for the environment. It's also very good for your health, I should say. I know that now you have 7% in Tucson, Arizona, using bikes, and that's going up. And I can only encourage that going forward. On the other side of the coin of the high taxes and high energy prices that we're paying, we have what is in the sort of the election campaign is one of the scariest things you could have, namely a society where we have free education for all, we have a free healthcare system for all, and we have a free social security system for all that is paid by the government. Of course, we pay a lot of taxes to come to that situation. And sort of just to underline how we are doing, but this is much easier in a small human genius society like the Danish. I think for the third time in a row we have been named the luckiest and happiest people in the world. So something is actually working in Denmark, in the state of Denmark, as Hamlet said. Thank you for your attention, and if you have any question, I would be more than happy to answer.
You are listening to 30 Minutes KXCI Tucson, featuring remarks made by the Danish ambassador to the United States, Peter Taxo Jensen, in a public talk hosted by local chapters of Rotary International in January 2013. A brief question and answer session followed, beginning with a question on wave technology.
This was a question about sort of wave technology to use the oceans. This is also something, I think Denmark is one of the countries, if you compare the landmass to the coastline, where we have the longest coastline in the world. So we have a lot of water around us in Denmark, a lot of islands, and we are also investing a lot of money in this area, but this is not where we have made it the breakthrough so far. It's really wind and sort of using the waste from biogas to other areas that has sort of been the game changers in the way we have changed the mix of energy that we are producing with renewables in Denmark. We also use a lot of central heating a different way than you do, where we collect our waste and actually use our waste for heating, so that waste in Denmark has become a commodity compared to here, where you have continue having a lot of landfills, at least on the East Coast where I come from. But in Denmark, you can actually earn money from the waste you have and sell it to people who want to buy it from you.
Danish Ambassador Taxo Jensen was asked about immigration in Denmark.
We don't have the same challenge you have in this part of the United States. We have a lot of problem with not so much illegal immigration, but more immigration as such. And that has been a big issue for the last 15 years in Danish politics. And I think the basic problem that we have been facing is that people who are, there has been a willingness to receive foreigners. I think the percentage has gone from 4% foreigners in Denmark to 7%, so it's almost doubled. But it's still a very, very small percentage of a very, sort of the Danish tribe of hobbits that are all the same. And therefore it has been a challenge for us to integrate people with different cultures and so forth. But this is where we have to remember Denmark is part of the European Union, and the European Union is actually defending the borders around the whole of the European Union working together on that. And whenever people arrive, we are distributing the illegal immigrants coming to Europe according to a system that is actually working quite well. So it's not as big a challenge as the one you are facing from your borders here in Arizona or in Texas. But still a challenge, especially to integrate the...
A three-part question was asked about Denmark's role in NATO, Afghanistan, and the war on terror.
Thank you very much for that question. I would have been a better ambassador had I started out telling the story myself, but I'm glad that you posed that question. First of all, I would like to just say thank you so much for doing this. I mean, we can't stop thanking you for freeing Europe back in 1945, and honoring those who actually helped doing that is something that you are doing much better in that area than we are in Europe and in my country, where we haven't been as used to being at war as you are. You are treating your veterans in a much better way. And I know there's a long way to go, but still, that's something that I wanted to commend from the outset. We have changed our approach to foreign policy from sort of we just stick to ourselves and continue to be more interested in economic and other areas of foreign policy. And I think in the early 90s there was a decision to actually have a much more activistic Danish foreign policy. This meant that Denmark sent about 1,000 troops to Bosnia. We were the only ones in Bosnia who actually had tanks there, and we had the largest contingent in the former Yugoslavia. If you look at the ratio between our contingent and the number of citizens that we have. So we started our tradition there and have continued that going forward. We went together with the UK, with you guys, to Iraq. I know that has become a more controversial war for you and for us, but we went there from the outset with you in 2003. We were also part of the first US intervention in Afghanistan back in 2001. Where we had special forces working alongside your special forces to get the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan. And we still have a contingent in Helmand, which is the southern part of Afghanistan and the most tough part of Afghanistan, because you have all the pastuns in that part of the country. A contingent of one battalion, which is where we are scaling down the same way you guys are scaling down and handing the responsibility for security over to the Afghans as we go along. But we have taken the 43 casualties in that part of the country, and this is again the highest number of casualties per capita that we have taken. We were in Libya together with you guys as well. We had four fighter jets and two in reserve, and we carried out 19% of the offensive operations carried out in Libya. So we are quite proud of that, and I know that this was something that also surprised your president when he learned about this number, and he actually mentioned that to our prime minister. And at that meeting, and I was there, we had a discussion with between my prime minister and the president of the United States, and he sort of wanted the prime minister to change some decisions on investment in common assets in NATO at the time, and she went out of that meeting and reversed decisions that had been taken because, and this is the answer to your question, she wanted to be a key member of NATO, and she actually changed that, and now we are investing in one of the programs that we have there. And we also, just to end the story, the latest military operation is the one started by the French a couple of weeks ago. The French asked the US, Canada, Germany and Denmark and the UK to contribute assets. We were asked to contribute transport aircraft, and we had a decision by the Danish Parliament in 24 hours to contribute. So I can proudly say that we are trying to help on the global level to fight terrorism. It's Al-Qaeda who is on the march in Mali. It was Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We have also worked with you in Yemen to counter Al-Qaeda there. And we do that not just because we want to be together with the US, but because we think it's the right thing, and because we think this is a way to defend our borders, because we also have an interest in a situation where our citizens can be free from attack from terrorists.
Danish Ambassador Taksøe Jensen responded to a question about the European economy.
We are in the same boat as the rest of the northern part of Europe, even though we are not part of the euro. We are we consider ourselves the 18th member of the euro, so even though we don't have the currency, our Danish krona is pegged to the euro, so we have a very large interest in a situation where the countries in the eurozone get their act together. So therefore we are together with Germany and the northern Europeans, who put a lot of pressure on the southern European countries to actually start having a feast that they can't afford, and go through the necessary structural reforms that needs to be carried through in order for Greece and Spain and Italy and Portugal to become competitive again. So we are the biggest backers of Chancellor Merkel in keeping up the pressure on the southern European rim. Otherwise, because our economy is suffering from the fact that Europe is in a recession, and the US economy is suffering from that fact as well. And if we don't do anything about competitiveness in Europe, and this is especially in the southern part of Europe, but we need to also step up our game in Denmark, then we'll just become this museum where Chinese and Americans and others come and see how things used to be. And that cannot be an ambition for a Europe that wants to, together with the US, protect the values that we have in common in the rest of the world.
A question was asked about the financial costs of a green country.
Thank you. But I didn't want to underestimate the burden. I'm not proud to say that we have the highest taxes in the world. We have the highest taxes. And that actually is also a problem for us, because we are not as competitive as we would be if that wasn't the case. And you are right that, I mean, gas costs about $12 per gallon. But this means that people are driving smaller cars. But this is, and I don't want to hide that, this is one of the ways that you create the incentives necessary. And of course, that's much easier in a country where, if you drive from one end to the other, it's only 400-500 miles, and it's so much more different here. Thank you for the question about the cartoon crisis. This came in 2005. Some editor in a Danish newspaper decided to provoke and ask different cartoonists to make a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. And that created a situation similar to the one you saw a couple of months ago, but much worse for us, where your embassies in that part of the world were under attack. We had a situation where Danish embassies were burning in Iran, in Damascus, in Syria, and this was before the war in Syria, and other places, because of these cartoons. And the threat from terrorism went up sky high, and we have had to invest a lot of money in protecting ourselves in Denmark. But I can proudly say we started fighting terrorism way before this threat became much more imminent. It's something we need to, just to answer the question, it's something we need to keep under, we need to continue in the Foreign Service and other areas to, every time something happens, we are among the three, four countries that pop up and is on the target list of Al-Qaeda and others, the US, the UK, now France has become a member of that club, Denmark, Israel, are among the sort of targets, and we have to protect ourselves all the time, also nationally, and we do. Thank you so much for your time.
Our guest today was Ambassador Peter Taxo Jensen, who visited Tucson for the first time and gave a public talk on Denmark's Green Agenda in January 2013 for members of local Rotary International. This was part of a series of events linked together under the banner of Danes in the Desert. Thank you for listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager.